Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Representative Annie Custer was one of the members trapped in the House gallery when the insurrectionists breached the Capitol a year ago today, January 6th. She's been very open about sharing her personal experience with PTSD and trauma, feels strongly about sharing this story. So the events of that day are not whitewashed compared to a tourist visit. The description's chilling. Trapped in the gallery of the House, occupying balcony seats off limits to the public because of COVID, roughly 36 House Democrats were the last ones to leave the chamber on January 6th as danger neared and the rioters were trying to break down the doors. They called their families, some to say goodbye. They scrambled for makeshift weapons, mentally prepared themselves to fight. Many thought they might die. Representative Annie Custer joins us now. Representative, good morning. You were terrific on CNN this morning, by the way.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning. Great to be with you.
From the great state of New Hampshire, I neglected to say.
Yeah, it's where my dad was born.
Yep.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Representative, I was just reading a horrible story. I don't know if you saw it in the Daily Beast. People close to Trump talking about how he is openly mocked and made fun of and in some cases impersonated lawmakers, police officers that were traumatized by January 6th. And I think a word we don't use enough is sociopath when we're describing the former president. But what you went through was very, very real. Can you talk to us about it?
Sure, absolutely. And you know, Stephanie, one of the things, I've learned new information since that day. Obviously, seeing the video, the vehemence, the violence of that crowd just surging forward. But what I've learned, and you're right, I was with the group in the gallery, the members, we were witnessing the proceedings, and then we got locked into the gallery because the crowd had breached the Capitol and was surging through. They told us they're coming through Statutory Hall. Tear gas has been used. You've got to put on a hood for tear gas and then make our way across the gallery, ducking under railings, the police saying, run, 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 nice. And then scrambling. When I crossed the third floor hallway, a policeman grabbed me and said, I'm going to get you in an elevator. I now understand that crowd, the mob of domestic terrorists, was surging into that hallway that I was in, maybe 40 or 50 feet away. And I think about it today. I think about what could have happened. They had bear spray. They had weapons. They had zip ties. We could have been kidnapped. We could have been killed. And if we had been, if members of Congress had died that day, we would not have been able to go back into the chamber that very night and vote at 3:30 in the morning to certify the election so that the American people could wake up to a democracy with a lawfully elected president and vice president.
I mean, Representative,
that's what I think about. And yeah, that's the message today.
Yeah, Representative, isn't that chilling that when we keep saying, what was the president doing in those 187 minutes? He was waiting to see if it worked. I mean,
absolutely.
There isn't any other way to
say it. And I had colleagues that called and texted the next day apologizing that it did not work, So my own colleagues on the Republican side, not all of them, obviously, but certain ones, were part of the insurrection, and they were disappointed that it was not successful.
This thing you just mentioned is so chilling about the elevator. You said when your group reached the hallway, a group of riders was rushing toward them. We ducked into the elevator, you recorded as saying, and I said to this incredible policeman, I said, oh my God, what if the elevator door is open and they kill us? I will never forget this moment. He said, ma'am, I'm here to protect you. And he was there to protect our democracy. And these are the...
It was just extraordinary. He put his hands out to block the door. And he said, ma'am, I am here to protect you. And again, it's not just me personally. I'm emblematic or symbolic of the democracy. And he got us down to the sub-basement. We ran down an escalator and ran through the tunnel under the Capitol. We thought we were being chased.
Yeah.
And running toward us were Capitol Police with their guns drawn, rushing to the Capitol to try to quell the mob. And right behind me, there were still two dozen members still trapped, and they had to lock the door. Jason Crow, my colleague who's a former Army Ranger, heard the commotion in the hall and realized that they would not make it across the hallway. And he commanded the police officer, lock that door. And those are those iconic photos that you've seen. 8.5 minutes it took for the riot squad to subdue the rioters in the hallway. And when my colleagues came out and crossed over to a different staircase, those insurrectionists were sprawled out on the floor with guns to their heads. I mean, it was a scene of combat that you can't even imagine in the halls of Congress.
Congresswoman, I remember millions of us. I was one of millions of us watching with our mouths agape a year ago that our Capitol was under attack. For you to be in there, yeah. I can't even imagine. It's described in this same article, Congresswoman, when you made it home 2 days later, you watched hours of the video from the insurrection and only compounded the trauma for you. You said, I remember my husband coming in, I was just sobbing, and he was holding me saying, I don't know if this is the best thing for you to see. And you just said, we have to acknowledge the reality of what happened that day. And what's challenging for us is that we're both victims and witnesses to the crime on our country. I mean, does it still
Absolutely.
Traumatize you?
And
does it traumatize you still
yes.
watching it a year later?
Yeah, this week was tough, I'll tell you that. And, you know, you asked the question of what was the personal impact. I was not entirely familiar with post-traumatic stress, which is what I had last winter after I watched those videos. The feeling of being hunted was the most traumatic part for me to know, you know, hang my mag. Pence, to know that they wanted to kill members of Congress in order to thwart this election. And, you know, my husband was saying, I don't think you should watch this. And I said, this is what happened. I need to understand this. I need to be prepared to convey. And now, today, what I'm saying, I'm not a witness and a victim. Today, I'm a witness and a survivor of this violent attack. And I've learned from victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, you know, to be a survivor, that's my strength. I can tell my story.
Yeah.
But I had night terrors. I would wake screaming in the night. And luckily, we've had some very good support here. We have employment services in the Capitol, and the therapy's been very helpful. And then this group of colleagues we call the Gallery Group. And we've stayed in touch with each other. We've done therapy together as a group on Zoom, and we've continued to support each other for the past year, and particularly this week.
Yeah, I saw that. I was reading that part of the article, too. I love that you have a text message chain that started that day, right, that you've kept up, as you say, therapy sessions, potluck gatherings, the Gallery Group, you've dubbed yourselves, and you talk about, you know, your struggles being exacerbated by the raw tensions on Capitol Hill and the increasing number of death threats. Others said they were more traumatized by the growing tendency among Republican lawmakers and some in the public to downplay or ignore the violence than they were by the attack itself. You and I, before the interview here, just talked about both sides do it coverage, which is, you know, driving me insane. This
it's
was
so
Republican Trump support. There are members of your caucus that talked about going to the Republican side because if there was a shooter, they thought they'd be less likely to open fire on the Republican side because they were Trump supporters. Oh. Right?
Right. Right. Exactly. And Jamie Raskin covers that in his new book. You know, you mentioned this. I've had difficulty as well in the past year because of COVID-19 and the same misinformation that's happening about our elections and our democracy is threatening our public health. And my own colleagues refuse to wear masks in the Capitol. And I get on an elevator, and even recently after Omicron, I would say, we're headed to vote, and a colleague tried to get on. I put my hand out. I said, I've had an exposure to COVID. And he just jumped right on the elevator. He said, oh, no problem. Oh. I'm like, yeah, it's a problem. You are misinformed.
Well, that was
what is so difficult.
That day in the Capitol, you were forced to be, you know, locked in with a bunch of Republicans that wouldn't wear masks. I mean, it's all terrorism. I keep saying that. It's all terrorism.
In. Yeah. And I spoke about that last year, the threat from within and the threat from without. We spent 5 hours locked in a room with 200 members of Congress, half of them Republicans, half of them not wearing masks. And at first I thought I was sitting next to a guy and I said, oh, you don't have a mask. And I reached in my purse. I said, here, I've got extras. And he literally said to me, I can't breathe. Now, he had to choose that choice of words. I mean, it was so offensive.
Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Representative, what was your reaction to Merrick Garland's speech? Were you heartened? Or did you hear enough? What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's important, what I'm very heartened by is the bipartisan January 6th commission. And I'll say this, I don't agree with Liz Cheney on very much at all of public policy, but I think she's an American hero right now to be standing up and speaking truth and speaking her truth. She announced last week on national television that they've interviewed over 300 witnesses, that they have an eyewitness to the President of the United States taking more than 3 hours to respond, to send the National Guard to quell the insurrection at the Capitol. And you have to wonder, what was his intention? Did he want it to be successful? And I think we know the answer to that. So I think, you know, look, Merrick Garland is, the Justice Department has already taken criminal action against 700 people. They have several more that 100 more that I expect by the end. I think we'll have charges over, you know, 1,000 people. And some of them, as they're getting to the more serious cases now, are, you know, 5-year jail terms. And I think one of the things that he said that I am heartened by, he said, we will take as long as it takes and we will go as far as we need to go, whether they were in the Capitol or not. And I think that's the significant phrasing, is both the commission and the Justice Department going beyond the people that broke the windows and stormed the Capitol. Yes. But I'll tell you a crazy story that happened to me. The day after, January 7th, I went to get my COVID shot. Mm-hmm. And I was got the shot and then had to wait, you know, 15 minutes. And it was a surreal scene. I'm waiting with Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and two Southern Republican Caucasian males. I'll say it that way.
Yes.
And the two of them are bragging to each other right in front of us about the number of busloads of supporters that they brought to Washington. Meaning probably their campaigns paid for the buses. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then we've got Representative Gosar. We've got Representative Mo Brooks that are at the rally, that are fomenting this rebellion. So, and also members of Congress, my colleagues who were giving tours of the Capitol,
yes.
What was that all about in the days leading up
speaking
to
speaking of your PTSD,
so I think there's a lot more for us to learn.
Yeah, speaking of your PTSD, Congresswoman, what it feels like to serve every day with these people that were a part of this. And I think you make a good point that January 6th was just the Plan B Hail Mary part of this whole coup. And I hope you're right that Merrick Garland gets to the bottom and the top of all of this.
Yeah. And, you know, look, I actually grew up in a Republican family, very liberal.
Me too.
they were pro-choice Republicans. Go figure. We don't even have those anymore. And now I represent a very purple district. So I'm known for working in a very bipartisan way. And I've got a bipartisan commission on addiction and another one on sexual assault. What I do and what I've told my team here, we have one simple rule since January 6th. We will work with any member of Congress who recognizes the lawful election of Joe Biden as the President of the United States.
Thank you.
And if they don't, I'm not going to work with them because they're not going to be successful.
Thank you.
We've got to pass a bill in the House, the Senate, and get it signed into law. And if they're not serious about our democracy, then I'm not going to engage in waste my time with them.
Thank you. It's your first time on the show, so maybe you don't know. My dad ran with Barry Goldwater in 1964, so I also come from a very Republican family. but he also was a prosecutor.
In New Hampshire. He probably campaigned in New Hampshire.
He probably did.
Yes, it was one of the, was not one of the six states they won. But hey, the point is, Congresswoman, he also was a prosecutor at Nuremberg, and he knew what fascism was, as Jamie Raskin just said before we went to interview you.
Jamie's been so eloquent about that.
Yeah.
That's the threat. Yeah. The F word, as you say, that's the threat.
And can I just say, this is the worst thing about this entire period. It has made you love Liz Cheney and me love Karl Rove, who just wrote a blistering op-ed. But I mean, it's just, there's so few of them, Congresswoman. You're right. He just penned a blistering op-ed in which he asked his fellow Republicans how they would have reacted if liberals stormed the Capitol when Trump was being certified in 2016. He said, on the anniversary of January 6th, I'm addressing squarely those Republicans who for a year have excused the actions of the rioters who stormed the Capitol, disrupted Congress as it received the Electoral College's results and violently attempted to overturn the election. He said last year, there were several thousand protesters willing to use force to disrupt Congress and its constitutional duty to receive and certify the electoral vote. They smashed doors and windows, illegally entered the Capitol, ransacked offices, searched for leaders of Congress, made dire threats about what would happen if they found them. I mean, why are there so few? And I can't believe Karl Rove is one of them, but calling out just how despicable this is, what happened, and the Republicans that still support it.
And that's just it, Stephanie. We need to elevate those voices. And I think I just did an interview with a conservative radio at home, and I had this very conversation. And I think we need to move beyond and help them call out the people within their party and help sort of the Nixon silent majority, who are law-abiding citizens. Help them call out the domestic terrorism that this really was. And that's my role today as a witness, as a survivor of the attack. Tell the truth, tell truth to power, be authentic, and make sure that rational Republicans and independents step up and stand up, and that all of us, Democrats, independents, Republicans, are vigilant about protecting our democracy every single day.
Yep.
Because we do live in the land of the free and the brave and justice for all.
Wow.
And we want to continue that. I want that for my children and my grandchildren.
Hang on. I have to give you rock star cheers. Hang on.
Donald Trump is
Hang on. I need to give you really big cheers for that.
from the
tiny yet mighty state of New Hampshire, Representative Annie Custer. Representative, come back anytime. Thanks so much for speaking out on such an important day.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great to be with you. Thanks. Be safe.
You
too. Stay well.
All right. All right. Bye-bye. There she goes.